But I just want to talk about baptism a little bit, and this is why we do it this way as a church. We believe that biblically, baptism is appropriately ministered to only those who give a believable profession of faith. And so you'll find a lot of times that some people were baptized as an infant, or they're baptized when they're quite young, and they'll get baptized again because sometimes, like, as an infant, they didn't really know what they were doing. It wasn't a personal decision. Sometimes when they're youth group, they did it because all their friends were doing it, and it wasn't really a genuine decision that they had made. And so we have no problem doing that, and we call this a believer's baptism. And we believe that's kind of the biblical model. The text that we really draw from is in the book of Romans. And so if you want to turn to Romans chapter 6, it's verse 3 and 4, and it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." And this is Paul is really talking about this beautiful symbolism of this union with Christ, so this oneness with Christ, that we are one with him in his death, in his burial, and also in his resurrection. And it seems that the biblical mandate is baptism by immersion. This picture of baptism is someone that's going down into the water as to a grave, being buried, and then coming up out of the water is the picture of being raised with Christ in this newness of life. And it's a symbolic death of one's old self, of one's old way of living life, and rising to a new way of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really, in many ways, the outward symbol of beginning the Christian life. An easier way that we talk about it at church, we say it's the outward sign of inward regeneration. In other words, this is what God is doing inside of, God is doing something inside of me, and this is my outward posture, and I get baptized in this place. Now, we make it very clear that we are saved by grace, and there's nothing that we can do, no work or no act. And so something we say at our church all the time is we don't get baptized to be saved. We get baptized because we are saved. This is a response of obedience to the Lord, and he told us to get baptized. So that's very important. We don't get baptized to be saved, but we get baptized because we are saved. Remember, we are saved by grace. And so we at SP, we value community, and we believe this is a personal decision. It's not an individual decision. It's a personal decision. There's a difference there, and we believe that it's done in community. And so what we're going to do is as each person comes up, and the kids, obviously, we've recorded the video of them, so you know they don't have to be nervous in front of you guys and whatnot. And so they did it in the privacy of children's room. And Sandeep, thank you, Sandeep, for doing a great job of putting these videos together. And you can give Sandeep a hand. And so afterwards, when they come up, I'm going to stand next to them, and I'm going to ask you as a community, do you receive so-and-so as your brother or sister in Christ? And you respond, if you believe that they have given a believable profession of faith, you say amen, but I want to tell you what your amen entails, okay? Your amen is not just a statement that you make. Your amen that says, PSAM, I'm going to be responsible in some way for helping them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, the most powerful way you can do that is through prayer. And you can be a person of prayer and pray for them in this decision, pray for them after the decision and what happens afterwards, and also be involved in their lives. You can be a person that could be one of their Sunday school teachers or one of their house church leaders or a friend that stands alongside of them. Maybe you can draw close to them in accountability. But there are so many avenues and ways that our amen makes a difference. And so it's not just a word that we say, it's a commitment that we make and say, yes, I want to be responsible in some way of helping them grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you're doing in that regard. And so we also, as a church, we value prayer. And so what we're going to do is, before they get soaked in the water, this nice room temperature water, it's pretty cold, so you're going to be shocked when you get in. But So it's not just getting soaked in the water, but we want to soak them in our prayers. So if you'll notice, we have these little carpets in the front, these little towels. And so what we do is we have a sending prayer and we have a receiving prayer. And so the sending prayer is right here. That's the person that's going to come up into the tub. And we just pray for them. And you know, if you have a verse for them or a prophetic word or whatever it may be, this is just to bless them in. And then when they come out, we receive them not just with a towel, but with our hugs and our prayers as well. So it's going to be chaotic up here, but that's just the way we like it, right? You know, this is God's house. We're one big family, and so we're going to celebrate and enjoy together. And so, and this is a time that you as family and friends, that you can come up, and, you know, house church members, and come up and just lay hands and pray for them and just really support them in this incredible decision that they make before the Lord. And it's going to be a little crazy. It's okay. Feel free when you come up to take pictures. Try not to do it so much during the prayer time. Let there be a sense of the holy. This is a holy moment in their life. But afterwards, you're more than welcome to take pictures. And I know this is a family event as well. And so feel free to do that. And we'll have fun. The worship team will be up here, and they'll be leading us in worship throughout the whole time. And so we can really celebrate together. And that's where we're going to go from there. Okay? Amen? Now, let's practice right now. Let's practice our most encouraging face. Everyone put it on right now. Let's see your most encouraging face. I say this because they're going to come up and share their testimonies. I know public speaking is not the easiest thing to do. And so, in fact, it's one of the most scariest things to do. I'm probably scaring them right now by saying that. But it's one of the most scariest things that they do. So the best thing for you can do is to be happy and to have this encouraging face. And even if they say it's not even funny, just laugh. Have a good time with it. Just let them know that, man, I'm with you. You don't have to be nervous. I'm on your side. You're not performing in front of me. This, you know, we want to hear your story. You're important to me, and you have a powerful story to share with us about what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And so we come and just encourage and have fun. And trust me, it'll be a real blessing of a time. Amen.
Hi, my name is Ezra Lau. I am 8 years old. I have been an SP for 2 years. Because I spent my first part of my church life in Point Jing Church. I love riding and playing with trains. I also like to read books and do sports like running, swimming, and tennis. I also like traveling to different places. My favorite places are Dubai, Singapore, and London. I first believed in Jesus when I went to my first church, Point Jing Church, around 5 years old. When the church Sunday school teacher taught about some Bible stories, I began to believe in Jesus. I believe about God, that he saved us through his son Jesus by coming down to the earth and dying on the cross for our sins. And he also created the big, awesome, never-ending universe. Jesus saved me by dying on the cross for our sins. And I need Jesus because I have sinned 10,000 times, and sin separates us from God. So I need to repent from God and ask for forgiveness. He also resurrected from the dead, because if he didn't, we will never go up to the heavens. The things Jesus did in my life are like he healed me from my current allergy, my sore throat, and my coughing. He answered my prayers and he also loves me. And now, I love Jesus because God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit loves me. So I love them too. I want to get baptized because I want to follow Jesus and God and love him, to be like him, and to know more about him, and to go closer to him. Also, I want to thank the people who helped me with baptism. I want to thank Miss Kim, who helped me get ready, P. Mary for helping me with baptism class, and best of all, I want to thank God who helped me with wanting to get baptized and who started all of this. I also want to thank my parents. Thank you.
So here's this precious Ezra. So do you receive Ezra as your brother in Christ?
Yeah.
Amen. Good job, Ezra. You can have a seat.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chaemin. I'm 9 years old and Korean. I've been in SP for 5 years, and I've been in Hong Kong for 7 years. I have two younger sisters. The first one is Faye, and the second one is Isabel. I'm the fourth generation of Christian in my family. I love soccer, and I'm sporty. So I first believed in Jesus since I was born. I believed in God that He loves us more than anyone loves us. I believe that He created the whole universe. I believe that God is holy and He is loving and angry and created us. Jesus saved me through His sacrifice. God sent Jesus for us. He died on the cross for us. We are all sinners. We can't have eternal life without Jesus. One day, I found out that I had a gigantic cavity. It was as big as one of the flower earrings. It was very black. I cried and cried and prayed that I'm sorry that I didn't care about my teeth well. The next day, I saw my teeth in the mirror. It got smaller. After then, I went to the dentist. I was actually scared about the dentist before, but this time I fixed my teeth without pain and without fear. Now the fear about the dentist flew away, and now I am enjoying to go to the dentist. It was amazing. I really felt that Jesus healed more than half of my cavity, and he had a great plan to take my fear away about the dentist. I love Jacob because Jesus died for our sins, and He has done so much things for us. He helps me when I am going through hard times. Because I want to be baptized because Jesus got baptized. I love Jesus and I want to be like Jesus. I am so thankful to my mom and dad and all the Noah's Ark SP members and Holy Spirit. They encouraged me to get baptized. They also told me how nice is it to live like Jesus.
Amen. This handsome young man is Chaemin. And so do you receive Chaemin as your brother in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job, Chaemin.
My name is Ashley. I'm 8 years old and I'm in the third grade. Today I want to share my testimony with you all. I was born and raised in a Christian family and have been going to church since I was a baby. I have been at SP as long as I can remember. I love coming to church because I get to learn about Jesus and play with my friends. When I was 3 years old, my mother shared with me about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she asked me if I wanted to believe in Jesus. I said yes. My mother wrote down in her Bible, Ashley prayed to accept and invite Jesus into her heart and follow all her life. This was on June 17, 2013. I believe that Jesus never changes. He is faithful. He is all-powerful. He loves everybody and He will protect us. I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm still growing up. So even if I mess up, God is in control. He is agape. He is love. One Saturday, P. Mary was watching me, and she decided to take me to Hong Kong Park. On the way back, we walked all the way back to church. While walking, I felt a bit tired and dizzy. I didn't know I was sick, nor did P. Mary. When I got home, I realized that I had fever. When I am sick, I pray for God to heal me. So the next day, I woke up and I was fine. God healed me. I want to be baptized because I believe that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior and that He is the Christ and the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead after 3 days. I believe that Jesus is in heaven watching over us now. I love Him because of the cross, because He saved us. He will listen to my prayers and meet my needs. I also want to thank my aunties and uncles in this church who are helping me to grow in Jesus. And a special thank you to all the Noah's Ark teachers and my mom and dad. Thank you. God bless.
Amen. She's such a natural preacher, huh? Wow, it's like we should take another offering or something. Okay, do you receive Ashley as your sister in Christ? Yes. Amen. Good job. Good job.
Everyone, my name is Gigi. I've been attending SP for more than 2 years. Before sharing my testimony, I would like to give you some idea of my background. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents are Christian and they met in church. I went to Christian school, I attended church and learned about God since I was little. However, I didn't have many encounters with God during that time. I just knew that God is good, and this is the only religion that I should go for. When I was teenage, I even walked away from God, as I thought that church is so boring and outdated. Life wasn't too bad after I graduated from college. I did ask for God for help sometimes. Usually when I fly on plane, I pray. But at that time, I have no intention to come back to church at all. As I have a very strong character, I believe that I could manage my life by my own planning. I look like an optimistic person, but in fact, I'm very pessimistic at heart. I worry so much thing, and I'm so stressed and tense all the time. That's why I love planning a lot and always prepare for the worst. I just realized that I'm wrong until two major things happened in my life. The first thing is devastating. My husband and I made a very wrong investment decision when my girl was just born. This makes us suffering a lot financially, even up till now. Second thing is, after I became a mom, I found that I really can't control my girls in many ways, even during pregnancy. Originally, we planned to buy a bigger apartment before my girl's arrival. Because of the wrong decision, we didn't even sure if we are able to get a small one. During that time, my girl arrived. We were very frustrated and felt extremely hopeless. My plan was totally ruined, and I was nearly collapsed. One day, my husband was on day off. He just randomly made a call to a property agent to check out the latest price when he was just wandering in a mall. The agent introduced him an apartment which is closer to our budget. However, the apartment was not available for inspection. Eventually, we just looked up at our targeted unit from the podium. Though we were not able to do the inspection, we felt tremendous peace and comfort in our hearts. We felt that is our home, and we were so determined to buy it. Though the negotiation was very tough, we got it at the end. I believe that it's God's blessing. Even I and my husband made mistake. God is so good that he didn't leave us behind. Actually, he prepared the best for me and for my family. I'm so blessed that my place right now is very close to my mom. We can see each other very often. And the neighborhood is very kids-friendly too. When I look back, I believe that God has his plan for me. If I didn't make that mistake, I would pick another apartment for sure, but it will be further away from my parents. God put family bonding before anything, instead of how nice the apartment is. My daughter is another precious gift from God to change my life. Before her arrival, I tried my very best to get everything prepared. However, none of her things followed my plan. I was a gymnast when I was young. During pregnancy, I thought that I'm so strong, my fitness level is so good that I could grow a chubby baby. However, my girl was born at 5 pounds only. She was very tiny and it's not easy to take care of her. Also, I thought that my body flexibility could help me to have a natural birth. However, during the labor pain, the equipment on my belly couldn't detect my girl's heartbeat for a short period of time. We totally freaked out and decided to have an emergency C-section right away, which I never expected. With all the frustration and all the burden on my shoulders, I was so stressed out and depressed. I found that I'm no longer to handle it by my own. I started to look for church and hope God will share my burden. Since my husband works on shift, I need to bring my girl to church on my own most of the time. I was looking at churches near MTR and have to be easy accessible by stroller. At that time, my colleague Carol Lee introduced me and invited me to join SP. Indeed, SP fits my needs perfectly, and the way from my home to SP is all covered, so that I don't even have to worry about the rainy days. Seems everything is prepared for me. I have no excuse not coming to church. God is merciful. He keeps showing his grace to me and my family. But what drives me to come on stage and get baptized is Alpha Retreat. Alpha is really a good platform to open my heart to receive God's love. I did hesitate to join the Alpha Retreat at the very first beginning. However, I'm so blessed that I joined, as God revealed his grace more than I expected. I couldn't hold back my tears when P. Ricky and all my sisters praying for me. I was bawling, and I couldn't control myself at all. I really can't deny that Holy Spirit came to me and filled my heart. Same situation did happen to me many times before. Even when I was in schools listening to sermons, I cried a lot too. However, every time I tried very hard to stop my tears, and I didn't admit that Holy Spirit came. I pumped into P. Ricky and P. Nick that night on the way out. It was, believe it or not, it was the first time I speak with Pastor after attending SP for more than 2 years. We talked about baptism during the bus ride. P. Nick reminded me that I don't have to be perfect or fully equipped for baptism. It will be just the beginning of the journey. And P. Ricky also telling me that P. Nick's teaching is really good. That night after the first day retreat, I couldn't sleep at all. I was recalling every single blessing that God has given to me. I was so determined to write down all the stories and make up this testimony. I know that God gave me faith and power to do so. I'm so blessed that God has put a lot of caring people around me, encouraging me and supporting me to grow. Thank you, Ken, Lauren, Tyler, Heather, my Alpha Sisters group, and my house church family, Carol. Without your support, I won't be able to stand on stage to accept God, and most importantly, not turning back this time. Thank you.
Good job. Good job. Amen. Do you receive Gigi as your sister in Christ? Yeah. Amen.
Good job. Good job.
Hello. My name is Sam, and I first came to SP in 2007. I grew up in a Christian family in the UK just south of London, and believe it or not, have been serving as a missionary in YWAM for the past 10 years. I believe through my family, attending church and reading the Bible, often during the mealtimes together as a family, I was well aware that there was a creator God who loves me. As I reflect back on my walk with him, I can see that God protected me and kept me on the right track to be where I am today. I would never in a million years have dreamt that in 2017, I'd be celebrating 10 years of serving the Lord here in Hong Kong. I always had a passion for art and drama, but after finishing my studies, I somehow came to the conclusion that art and drama couldn't be used in a positive way in this broken world. I decided not to pursue a career in the arts and instead joined my grandma in the family business. It was during my time working for my grandma that I came to Hong Kong and into China on buying trips. Arriving here, I really enjoyed the modernity of the city, its convenience, and being served by its people. The glittering facade drew me in and somehow filled me, if but only temporarily. Returning to the UK, the emptiness and the loneliness crept in, and I wasn't my happiest. As time went by, I was sad that my passion for art and drama couldn't be used in a positive way, and I became interested in wealth and obtaining material things. I was quite lonely on the inside and empty, and in need of something to fill this void that I was trying to fill. It was on my way to work in my car that God spoke to me. I was stuck in traffic and not going anywhere when I heard the audible voice of God saying, "Sam, come to Hong Kong and see who I am." I remember responding, "God, I know who you are, and I go to church every Sunday, and I've been to Hong Kong." My brother Joe, around this time, was serving in Youth of the Mission in Spain and North Africa, and he told me about a discipleship training school, or DTS, that YWAM runs, and that there was one that had a focus on performing arts. I looked it up, and funnily enough, there was one that was taking place in March the following year in Hong Kong. I signed up. During my furlough, whilst working in the family business, I often took a week or two off to help out at a Christian summer camp, leading the youth as we helped arrange and facilitate childcare, much like Sunday school on a large scale. I did this over a few consecutive years. Sometime before I heard God's voice in my car, I had an encounter that led me to rededicate my life to Christ. It was during this annual Christian summer camp when I was leading a small team of volunteers that God drew me back to him. I was in a large gathering for the volunteers with worship and a speaker. Near the end of the sharing, the speaker said that he felt that there were some people in the room that wanted to rededicate their lives to Christ. I knew that this was my time. Then he invited people to come to the front to rededicate their lives to Christ. And somehow I just could not step forward. He then paused and said that perhaps there were some people that really wanted to come but just couldn't come. So I knew that that was me, but still I didn't step forward. He then said that there were some ladies in the crowd that needed to come forward and rededicate their lives, but I knew that I wasn't a lady. So I stayed back. And then, of course, he said, I believe that there are some men here as well that need to take the step. I really wanted to go forward, but somehow I couldn't. And then behind me, I felt somebody pushing, and I was getting ready to turn around, you know, quite upset. Don't force me, don't push me. When I turned back around, I was standing at the front of the stage. I remember it was like God had carried me to that place. He knew I needed to be there, and he knew that he wanted me to recommit my life to him. It was there that I just couldn't stop weeping, which is thoroughly un-British. I recommitted my life to God at that camp, but it was only when I obeyed God's call back to Hong Kong that I really grew and encountered him in a deeper way. It was on my discipleship training school in Hong Kong that God transformed my eyes for the city of Hong Kong, where once I viewed the city as a place of convenience, wealth, and to be served upon by its people. I felt that he wanted me to see the city with new eyes. Just as Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, he wanted me to now give back to the city and region in a meaningful way. Through a ministry time in Love After Marriage, yes, Lamb, Love After Marriage, the Lord raised a time in my memory where during my travels I couldn't stand for Jesus, but instead bowed with joysticks to an idol. It seems rather insignificant, and it was a situation that took place some years ago. But I felt that something needed to change. I told P. Sam just an hour or so after that time that I wanted to get baptized. I had to tell him, or it would take another 10 years. If I didn't. I wrestled with the thought for some time that how can someone that's been on the mission field for such time as this can only now come to realize that it's time for baptism. But I know this is God's divine timing. Expressing my interest to Ashley through email, I got a response inviting me to join the baptism class. The email that came in right before was an email from my mum with no words but just an attached picture. As I opened it up, the picture was me on my baptism day as a baby in the arms of my great uncle. I hadn't shared with anyone my desire to be baptized, apart from Soyoung. A coincidence? I think not. But a confirmation that the Lord is saying, this is the right time. It was also 10 years ago that I first shared my testimony at Solomon's Porch in Winglock Street. I feel that God is using this time to show me how far I can go, not on my strength, but on his strength. Because without him, none of the journey would have been possible. Thank you to all of you who have prayed for, encouraged, and supported my family and I over the years. I'm so thankful for my parents, the family God has given me in the UK and Hong Kong, and for those whom I've come to know during my time in Asia and with YWAM. Thank you.
Amen. Do you receive Sam as your brother in Christ?
Amen.
Good job. I honor you. You are my King.
Amen. Amen, Samuel. God's timing really and truly is perfect. Good morning, everyone. My name's Chris. I've been at SP for 2.5 years in both Singapore and Hong Kong. As a young boy, I grew up knowing about God, but never was 100% engaged nor committed. I mean, why did I need him? In these early stages of my life until my 20s, my life looked great. I'd gone to a good school, completed a coveted graduate management program, and was interning at a high-impact nonprofit. But despite all these outer signs of worldly success, I came to learn of the void in my life. I had a powerful encounter with a strong Christian friend named Ashley. Ashley was smart, a gifted writer, and had a charming, if sarcastic, sense of humor. But she was also incredibly down-to-earth, caring, and humble. She only had a slight physical build, and you might not notice her in a crowd of people. But what I would realize later is that she is one of the strongest people I've ever met. In her 20s, Ashley was diagnosed with a rare cancer often found in young children. She battled it over 2 years, mostly in the U.S. Using her writing gifts, Ashley maintained a detailed blog of her ordeal. I followed her posts that shared her deep faith and praise of God, despite her daily pains and torturous rounds of chemo, radiation, and vomiting. Even when I visited her with no hair and barely any flesh on her bones 2 weeks before she passed, she knew 100% that God was with her and was at peace. After that visit, I cried on the street for almost an hour. It made me think. I had everything at this point, and Ashley had very little going for her. She was slowly dying, but she had more strength than I ever had. I concluded that there simply must be more to this girl than meets the eye. Several years later, after struggling with a personal tragedy, I took the Alpha course. It spoke to me, especially the first lesson, entitled, "Is There More to Life Than This?" I became eager to absorb each week's lesson and to know God better. I came to understand the source of Ashley's great strength and learned about God's grace. He loved us first and sent his only son to endure all the pain, humiliation, and wrath on the cross for our sins. During the Alpha weekend, I had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit and said my sinner's prayer with many tears as I was prayed over. I went to bed that evening feeling incredibly at peace. The next day, and in the months after, I was high on a mountaintop, overflowing with gratitude of what God has done for me. He blessed me abundantly during those initial months, at work and in relationships. Since then, I've come back down to earth and have faced hardships. God's strength has sustained me during these times, and I walk with assurance knowing that he is with me and my family. I want to take a moment to acknowledge my father in the room, and that just 3 months ago, he was in a hospital bed in the ICU. Dad, I'm so pleased to have you here. I also want to recognize my mother, sister visiting from California, and close friends. And of course, I want to recognize the close brothers and sisters from New Conduit House Church who have led me along my faith journey as well. Today is my public declaration of faith, and I'm blessed that my immediate family could be here. It's been almost two years since we all physically have been together. With little done on my part, the dates lined up to allow this to happen. I give all the glory to God for finding me again. His timing truly is perfect. Amen.
Amen. Do you receive Chris as your brother in Christ?
Yeah. Amen. Good job, man.
Oh, precious is the flow. Tim. I'm 10 years old. I've been SP for 4 to 5 years. I love science and technology related stuff, video games, and American football. And my mom is a lawyer. I have believed in Jesus since grade 2, after my mom took us to church. A month ago, I asked Jesus to be in my heart. I knew Jesus was my Savior, and I wanted to pray for Him to be in my heart. So Mr. Brett prayed for me, and I believed in my heart that Jesus was my Savior. I believe God is holy. He never sinned, that God loves me and us more than anyone else loves us. God created everything, and God will save us. I believe in Jesus will save us and bring us to heaven. Everyone knows we've all sinned, and in the past they had to sacrifice pigs and sheep like beasts. Then one day, Jesus came and dies for our sins. That was the ultimate sacrifice. Now whoever believes in Christ shall go to heaven and have eternal life. Jesus has helped me pass exams, and He gave me cool friends, and He gave me talents like being creative, and being smart. Jesus has done so much for us. He died for our sins. He gave us talents. He helped us when we have difficulties. I want to be baptized because I believe that Jesus is God, and Jesus told me to. I want to be closer to God. I would like to thank Mr. Brett, Mr. John, and Mr. Marcus because they prayed for me to believe in Jesus, the rest of the Noah's Ark teachers, and especially my mom and my sister because they have helped me know God. My mom is the reason I know God. Awkward silence.
Wow. He's going to be an awesome preacher, huh? He was so good. Okay, church family, do you receive William as your brother in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job.
Makes me white as snow, no.
My name is Anna and I'm 10 years old. I have been at SP for about 10 months. I am Korean and I have been in Hong Kong about a year. I live in Simon Hill in Grand Promenade and I also have a dog named Star. I first believed in Jesus when my mom had me. I started to go to church with her when I was really young. I believe that God loves us so much, He sent His Son down to earth to save us from our sins and getting further from God. Jesus saved me by going on the cross and dying for me. I need Jesus to save me. I need Jesus because I want to keep the friendship with God and I want to go to heaven and His is the way. He gave me the chance to live in Canada to study and to live in Hong Kong by my mom. He gave me this wonderful family, including our dog, who is wonderful and kind and cute. He sent Pastor Ann to help us do family worship. I love Him because He came down to earth to save us from our sins. I love Him because He died for me. I want to be baptized to show people that I have been washed and clean. I want to obey God. The people I want to thank are my family to help me to get baptized, and thanks P. Mary to ask me if I am going to do the baptism class. Thank you.
Well done. Well done. Amen. Do you receive Yuna as your sister in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job. Well done.
Hi, my name is Eunji Kim and I'm Korean. I'm 13 years old and I have been Solomon's Porch almost 10 months. I have five family members, dad, mom, my sister, Una, and my dog, Star. Also, my grandparents is here for me, too. My life before Christ, I haven't known well about God, and I didn't know why I have been going to church. I just went to church because my family has been going every Sunday. Well, our home is Christian home, but I really didn't feel God a lot when I was young. I started to believe Jesus Christ when I was in grade 4, in summer Christian church retreat. I was in worship team, so we went to retreat 3-4 days earlier than other people's. We arrived there and started to clean our building and got ready for worship. It was at night one day before the retreat started, and we prayed for everyone to come safely and have fun with God in this retreat. In my dream, I actually saw God. It was not clear, but he hugged me. I woke up next day morning and I shared my dream with teachers and other worship teams. They all said they had same dream with me and everyone was surprised. And it was pretty amazing. I think this is my first time that I actually met God. We did worship every day and at last day of retreat we did worship. Same as other day, we went up to the stage and started singing and dancing. After a song, we had praying time. Pastor and our worship teacher started to pray for us one by one. When Pastor was praying for me, I cried a lot and I kind of heard Jesus Christ's voice. When I was crying, I looked around and I found that everyone in worship team was crying. In that time, I could feel that Jesus Christ is in me and next to me all the time. After that time, every summer retreat, I was in tears and I could hear his voice better than past. It was amazing. After that time, for me, God is my Savior and He is my Lord. I didn't know what He is actually doing and I didn't believe that God is next to me. But now I know that God is with me and always He is nearby me. Also, Jesus is connecting me with God so I can believe better. Jesus saved me from sins and He died for me. So now I can be closer to God. My life after Christ is totally changed. When I choose to give my life to Christ, I feel a little different. I started to go to church with more happy feeling and do worship more. Also, when I was praying, it was a little different. Before I met God, I didn't feel God a lot. But now, sometimes when I'm praying, I can hear His voice and I can feel Him. Also, I changed a lot too. I became more peaceful and tried to understand other people more. There was lots of difference when I started to give my life to Christ. For me, I think baptism means is to show other people that I give my life to Christ. I think it's a symbol of believing God. I decided to get baptized because I want to show other people that I really believe God, so I didn't get love Jesus Christ and I give my life to them. I had chance to be baptized before, but I didn't really believe God, so I didn't get baptized. But now I think I can get baptized because now I know God and I choose to give my life to them. So I want to be baptized this time. I feel thanks to my worship team teachers and my pastor when I was in grade 4. He told me lots of stories about Jesus. Also, my family take me to the church so I can believe God more. And I really thanks to Jesus Christ that I can stay inside God's love. Thank you.
Stay here, stay here, stay here, stay here. Amen. Do you receive Isabella as your sister in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job. Good job.
God of Jesus, this is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me
My name is Jason, and I'm 14. I've been in SP for like 8 years now. Long time. I grew up in a Christian family, like many people, but I was always given a choice whether I wanted to be a Christian or not. My parents weren't forceful with my decisions, but I still follow my parents' rules, like praying before I eat, and yeah. I didn't really know why they believed in something they couldn't see or they didn't know. And I just continued praying before I ate. I was just told to do it. So I started to learn more about God when I joined Spark, and more so when I was in youth group. My mom was the key factor of bringing me to church, but this was only a couple years ago. In the beginning, it was really my dad taking my brother and me to church, and my mom just stayed at home. She was baptized and all, but she didn't really go to church because she was tired. But over the years, she slowly started to come more, and she joined BSF and learned more about God and the good things and what he did. Watching my mom change really was a really big deal to me, as it showed that God works in everyone's life and that God brings people to him. Watching all this happen, nothing directly happened to me personally, but God still works in other people's lives. For example, my grandpa was really ill, and one day in the morning, I just woke up, and my mom said that she had to go immediately to London to see my grandpa. Didn't really know what was happening, because my dad just got his new job. We're going to celebrate. When she went there, she was with my grandpa, and then they prayed a lot. After a while, my grandpa started to get better, and now he's all better now. But over the years, it's really my grandma that came closer to Christ because of this, and my grandma starting to pray now and is asking my mom for help to pray. God to me is a very powerful God, and he's a God that will care for everyone and bring them back to him. Many things have tried to bring me away, and I even had the choice to leave Jesus, but I stuck with my faith, and I've never turned away from it. I truly believe that this is Jesus doing that in me and keeping me with him. Now that I know him more and gave my life to him, I feel clean. I feel like I'm cleansed now and closer to God, and that I'll have eternal life with him. I also feel more peaceful in everything I do, and I want to go to church. Baptism to me is a symbol of many things. I want people to know that I am baptized, and I don't want them to just think I'm some Christian. And also, since I'm leaving Hong Kong soon and moving to the UK, I really want to be baptized in this church, my home church, in front of my youth group and my family here. And that's why I want to be baptized now and not any later. Thank you.
Good job, man. Sit here. Amen. Do you receive Jason as your brother in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job, Jason.
I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again.
Off my script. Hello, I'm Samantha. I'm from SP Youth. I'm 17 years old now. I'm turning 18 in 2 months. And thank you. And And I've been here in SP for 2.5 years now. And yeah, I'm really grateful that I'm being baptized today. So the first time I was formally introduced to Christ was back when I was in primary three. I would consider myself a rather cheeky kid back then who did quite some bad stuff. And so a lot of people see me nowadays and they wouldn't really picture a nasty kid, I hope. I don't think so. but I was once like a thief who just like steal correction pens from tutorial centers, regardless kind of knowing that it was inappropriate, that I shouldn't have. So after talking to P-Nate and reflecting upon these past year's events as I prepared his testimony, I reckoned something that I never had before. Something that splendidly displays the wonder of our God. So it is that the timings in which Christ worked and entered and worked in my life were perfect. So as I said before, I was introduced to Christ when I was in primary three. So that year was the first year when my mom started working. And so, working instead of being a full-time housewife. She's still my mom. You get me. So as a result, I was sent to like tutorial centers after school. And during that period, I would often find myself to be for some hours, not the whole day, to be the only one at home. And at that time of facing the change to a new, like more unfamiliar lifestyle, I started hearing about God in school. So the school that I went to wasn't even a Christian school. But then, fascinatingly, there was this Christian teacher who would just hold these small fellowship groups in during recess for students to just learn about Jesus and worship. So at that time, oh no, I said that, I'm so sorry. So just through this one teacher in this atheist environment. Oh, and also, I'm the only Christian in my family, both my families. So it was like an atheist environment. And so, yeah, during that time, I was led to this journey of Christianity. So I slowly started to go to church more frequently as I learned more about Christ and believed in him more. When I was in Form 1, I think, I decided to engage myself to the church every week. Again, I never noticed this before, but then that period of time was, coincidentally or not, the time when my parents started filing for a divorce. So now looking back and evaluating the timeline of the events, I realized that God had all planned. So amen. Yeah. So as I have been getting more involved in Christianity, changes inside me had become more noticeable. Myself, at least, I could feel in deep in my heart, even though, like, well, yeah. And I learned about the rights and wrongs in the eye of God and began putting an effort into following them. And also, at the same time, began to rely on him more and more whenever I faced difficulties. So, for example, on some days in school when I felt lonely and blue and isolated, so instead of being trapped in my own sadness, I would reach out to him and be reminded that he is with me always. And so just like that, through the power of prayer, I would feel an instant comfort and warmth provided by our Lord. So there are definitely still times now when bad ideas from the old me, like the thief, spurts up. But there are times that, I want to doubt his plans, and I still have like a lot of insecurities and imperfections as a Christian. But then at the end of the day, I know that the most important thing that I want is to be in this family of Christ. Thank you. Yeah.
Amen. Do you receive Samantha as your sister in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job. Well done.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alex. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I've been an SP for 4 years, and as a background, I work in finance, and I'm a super competitive guy. I used to not really listen to any instructions or advice, as I always thought that I was right and rational. Probably one of the most arrogant guys you would ever meet. And no one in my family is Christian. My mother is Catholic, and I was baptized as a Catholic when I was a baby. So I kind of was exposed to God as a child. Today, I want to share a story between myself and my father. I had a great relationship with my father as a child. I still remember there was an incident where I had to get an operation on my hand, and he stood next to me for 3 hours. I'm worried that I'd be scared, distracting me nonstop, stroking my hair, and he promised me that when I recovered, he'd take me to Disneyland, which he did keep his promise. And, you know, what a great father, right? As I grew older, in short, I saw my father having arguments with his brothers regarding family quarrels. It hurt me a lot because I always wanted a calm and happy family, so what I called with a loving heart to make the situation better, I encouraged him to forgive and move on because that's the healthiest for him and the family. Never really happened, and I began to grow annoyed and anxious and basically had no more patience. It slowly became a kind of love-hate relationship. I was angry at him, but it was because I also cared about him. Still trying to resolve things with my own strength, I basically ignored him. To the point that one day my mom, who's the most loving mother here, who's here today, told me that she thinks my father's getting sick, and I said, I don't care. I said, I told him it's healthy for him. It's not what's healthy for him. If anything, it's his own fault. I told myself I'm doing the right thing and I have no regrets. Until one night, Typhoon 8 night, my mother called me and said something's wrong with her father. You can't really move. So I said, it's a stroke, I think. Call the ambulance and I'll meet you at the hospital. Without a doubt, I rushed out in the pouring rain, and the doctor said it was a serious stroke and hopefully he will be able to get through the critical period. Immediately, I dropped everything and I stayed by my father's side, where he couldn't basically speak anymore by then. And a lot of the flashbacks of my childhood began to come, and I said to him, Dad, will you forgive me for being so hard on you? And then he couldn't speak, so he squeezed my hand really hard, and I took it as a yes. He slowly started to recover, and I thanked the so-called God by then. If he recovers, I'll do anything to look after him and ensure that he's well taken care of. A few days later, he was slowly recovering, but another heart attack struck. The doctor told us it doesn't look good, and I'm normally someone who believes that there's nothing I can't do, just like most guys in finance, always trusting in our own strength and knowledge. But that night, it was kind of my first encounter with God. I had no more strength on my own. I knelt down with my two knees outside of the ICU, crying out in pain. And I said, God, if you're real, like, please save him. I can't do this on my own. I don't know what to do, and I really love this man. He's my everything. 2 days later, the whole family gathered together, and my father passed away peacefully. Despite the situation, deep down, I told myself, God doesn't work. Praying doesn't work. So life went on with grief and being lost. I continued to try to be a normal and strong man, but it was literally impossible. And I found one of the letters my father wrote before he died, and 2 points struck me the most. Number one was, I wish the family can be reunited again and share the family wealth together and grow the family name. And number two was, I wish I can get the respect of my two sons as they once had for me. And tears started running down my cheek. I regret it so much, and the pain was just indescribable. And one day, my dear friend John, who's here today too, he asked me, have you been to church before? And I said, yes, but it's not really for me. He continued to be patient with me and called me at midnight, and we had hours of discussions because I just kept on thinking with my logic. But I did see the difference in John since he came to Christ, because when I met him in training in New York, he was not such a calm and loving guy. So thank you, John, for being patient with me. So I agreed to church, to go to church, but I said only it's only because of you, man. The first time I went to church, I was super scared. I was like, "What the heck is wrong with people here? They're so loving, like they're all smiling at me." There was even a time when John couldn't make it to church. I was scared to go, but I really wanted to go. So I came to the ground floor, and I was walking around back and forth on my own, and then I decided to go to the gym instead. So it wasn't really that straightforward, but slowly, I think the kind of uncertainty and loneliness and the fear kind of went away and kind of got replaced by God's love. And there was another time where John asked me to go to this men's retreat, and I was like, "Sure, are you going?" And he said, "Yes," and yes, he bailed on me. I woke up the next morning really scared, and I was like, "Okay, I'll decide to go." And it was probably the best experience I've had in my life. The topic was generosity. I learned so much about how blessed we can be to be generous and how generous God has been to me in my life. I learned that God loves me unconditionally, and I came to the conclusion that my whole experience through my father's death was a lesson that God wanted me to learn, and he wanted to draw me back to him. I then became more involved. I attended a house church where basically we go to someone's house for fellowship and on a weekly basis, and it became a must to me. And God slowly really started to mold me into a more godly man. I have to thank Jong Min, who's my house church leader, for always putting up with my questions and leading me to Christ. I could say this past year has been the year in my life which I've felt the most love, not just because people around me loved me, but also God changed me and gave me the ability to learn how to be loved. My father used to say, "I want you to grow up to be a better version of me," because every father in this world would want their son to be better than them. Sometimes God puts us in situations we don't like, but like any loving father, it is for us to grow up. It's been 4.5 years since my father's death, and I know I took it slow, but I cannot be more sure about coming to Christ because I more or less analyze every single aspect I can. I need to thank the church, Pastor Sam, my house church, Jong Min specifically, my mother, my brother, my girlfriend who always reminds me that whether I've spent time with God today, for being so supportive. And lastly, I want to encourage all of you who listen to my testimony today, especially the ones in finance, to understand that in life, it's not all about your knowledge and earthly success, and even whether or not you're doing the right thing. I was a heartless man, and I always was unable to kind of feel the feeling of love, to be honest, because I was always rational. But God has changed me and made me able to love again. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13:2, and it goes by this: "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but not have love, I am nothing." Don't get me wrong, I'm human too, and I get angry all the time, and I get really emotional. But when I calm down and pray, God sometimes tells me to put down my manliness, to appreciate, to apologize, and to be more loving. And my relationship with my mother, my brother, my girlfriend, the way I deal with stress at work, and to be more forgiving just in general, has really changed. I still have a long way to go, but I am excited about this journey ahead of me with Christ, and I hope that the ones out there who have yet experienced God, I'm here for you if you need me, and so is he. So thank you.
Good job. Amen. Do you receive Alex as your brother in Christ? Amen. Good job.
Tissue guy. I've been attending SP for 4 years. I attend the Mac Daddy's House Church with Pastor Kenny and Janie. I've been putting off getting baptized for more than 10 years. 2 years ago, I planned to get baptized on my 30th birthday, a perfect number to start a new life, because I would think by then my business would be doing so well that I'll be bringing so much glory to God. But actually, I got rich in a very different way. Let me share with you my story about His faithfulness, His mercy, and His grace. I came from a pretty hardcore Buddhist family. I love burning the paper. I love folding them. I love throwing them in the thing. It was fun. I went to a Catholic school, and it was horrible. When I was 9 years old, I moved back, my whole family moved back to U.S., and I didn't speak a word of English. Every day, I was just fighting with the upperclassmen, and even my own Chinese people don't accept me because I'm a fob. So I had no friends. I had no friends and rejected. I was like a total outcast in the whole school and whatnot. There were some stealing, and then I also hung out with a lot of gangsters and gangster wannabe that put me in some really dangerous situations. And on my family side, throughout growing up, my dad was kind of physically abusive. So he would hit my brothers. Like, we'd come back from work, and we'd lined up, and we would get whipped, my brother and sister. And my mom eventually left us when I was 9 years old. Lucky she only took my sister. She took her to L.A., or else I'd be like a long-haired West Coast server boy. And eventually, my dad's business failed, and we even end up getting like food stamp and whatnot. So my life was pretty interesting. So before I started my high school, I wanted to get a job, and I was walking on the street that I usually don't walk to, and I ran into a friend that was holding this door, and asked what he's doing. He actually working at the summer program, and the pastor actually came out to invite me to fellowship. But it was tough. I was too logical a person. I can't kind of connect the whole faith thing. And Catholic school made me really dislike Christianity. There were some practices where we had statues and we would tape dollar bills on the statue, parade around the block. It was just totally throw me off. Like, I don't like this thing. I remember being in Mass and there was a big Jesus picture, and in my heart, I would say, I'll never believe in you. The Friday came along, and I arrived downstairs of church, and I struggled probably for an hour. I was just sitting downstairs like, should I go up or not? At the end, I attend fellowship, and for the first time, I met the most genuine people in my life. And later, I got on the church basketball team, and that is when my life really changed. Basketball was like the gift from God that allowed me to channel all my negative energy. With all the love and feeling there's light hit my world for the first time, it was almost as if God came down and rescued me and saved me from this darkness. So I accepted Him as my Savior. Full of excitement, I just want to tell my friends and family that, you know, there's God and church. So I started branding Christianity as something very cool. I became this cursing police that made others, like, don't curse or whatever. But at the end, pretty much all of them rejected me and don't really care about being Christian or not, so I stopped trying. 7 years ago, I moved to Hong Kong. I don't know anyone. I don't have to go to church. No one bugging me, so I didn't go to church. And eventually, I got into this investment bank, and I work on the trading floor. And everything just ran out the window. I start cursing a lot, and every sentence is probably like 3 or 4 curses. Like, I'm native MK cursing. And I party a lot. It was too much partying. And from serving a lot back in New York to not going to church at all for 3 years, and Manson even would call me the Prince of LKF. It was horrible. This was the second darkest time of my life. I even got arrested for fighting, and even though it was a self-defense, but I got locked up for a few hours. And throughout this time, I just don't want to tell anyone that I believe in God, because I would give God such a bad name. So I became this secret agent Christian. Even to this day, people would still be like, "You go to church? You don't seem like someone who goes to church." I just can't believe how people still stereotype what a Christian would look or seem like. Because I'm pretty sure it's not my behaviors. I'm a pretty good boy, as you guys know. So life was going pretty well. I got a better job, better pay, and just feel that I could score on anyone in basketball. There was a strong sense of self-made. But the saddest thing happened. I fractured my foot. And with nothing to do, I remember being invited to this church. I came with my crutches. I sat in the back corner, and the sermons were something I really needed. It was on humility. I still don't know how to spell it to this day. But I really want to thank SP. Many of the sermons have really touched me. It was like the Valley of the Dry Bones, where I was kind of dead to my bones, and God just putting back in different organs and different parts into my life. I learned why we should give offering, was generational sins, forgiveness, and many more. I really want to thank Elaine, Pastor Maria, and Ashley for pulling up with me through Noah's Ark. I'm a troublemaker, so really have to thank their patience. I'm so glad that I have this relationship with God and having church in my life. I don't know how the business owners would go running a business without having God to help them with the stress. When the business got really tough last year and I struggled to pay my own rent and bills, I became very worried. But God continued to carry me mentally and open different doors. I really want to thank everyone for their prayers, for all their leftover foods, all the foods that I could bring home. And thank you, Pastor Sam, for keep buying the shirts. I know you have like 1,000 shirts and he's still buying shirts. Throughout this journey, I just feel that God is helping me to redefine the definition of success. Because I always try to tie my success to how much I make, how awesome my job is, and showing it all off, telling the whole world about it. Now I don't fly business class, no nice 5-star hotel, but I feel really rich in terms of my faith and in relying on God. I thank God for this business that I can learn and a lesson on humility. I'm definitely not self-made, but I'm God-made. There are still many financial issues and deadlines I need to meet, but like R.T. Kendall said during retreat, God is never too late, never early, but always on time. And it ain't over till it's over. I'm so glad I made that decision that day to attend fellowship and accept his love and let God work in my life. I can't imagine my life without his love. I'll be a person that'll be very short-tempered and always get in trouble, just less right now. Even after all these years being a Christian, I'm still not perfect. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I almost got in a fight last month over basketball, and this guy actually landed a punch on my jaw. But before I did anything stupid, of course, I was tempting him. I was like, "What you gonna do?" I was like, "Do it, do it." Anyway, but before I did anything stupid, it was like God stopped me and telling me, "Hey, you got a Dragon Boat race tomorrow. You were just on TV talking about your business. Don't be an idiot." And I was a groomsman the next week in New York. It would have been a bad if I was in bruises. to close, what really hits me was a dream I had last year. In the dream, I was falsely accused of killing someone. I don't kill people. So, but I didn't do anything, but I still ran away. But later on, I got caught up too. And this person stabbed me. But somehow in the dream, I was moved to the side. And it was almost like this was Jesus taking my spot, getting stabbed, like taking my sin in terms of others. So this dream really helped me better understand what it means when Jesus died for our sins in our place, even though he didn't sin. My last line is, even a fool like me can be saved, so give God a try.
Amen. Do you receive Wei as your brother in Christ? Amen.
My name is Matthew. I'm new to SP, actually. I've never attended any services here. So today's actually my first service. Yeah. So how did I get into SP? So I actually attended the Alpha Service program this year. And yeah. So a little bit about myself. I'm actually not from Hong Kong. I'm from the U.S. I grew up in San Francisco. And I grew up attending a Catholic school. And as Wei just said, it's not pretty fun. And I was literally forced to attend Sunday Masses with my mom. But from an early age, I really thought, like, Catholic, oh, it's not really me. And I'm not really interested in knowing God. So during Bible study, I'd usually just sleep through it. And Sundays are the worst, you know. There's always that good football match on Sundays, and then I'll be trying to make the excuse and tell my mom, it's like, oh, let's not go. Oh, maybe she'll forget. But then she'll be like, oh, you have to go to church. You can just rewatch it. I was like, you can't rewatch a live football game, Mom. It's not the same. Yeah, so basically, I was like, Catholic and God, I'm not interested. But it really doesn't mean that I don't believe in God at all, but I believe in his existence, but at an early age, I'd challenge him, like, does he really exist? Because I didn't really hear from him or feel anything from him. So as I grew up, I became more independent and a bit self-centered. Eventually, I convinced my mom that I'm not going to church anymore with you, and then I got out of Catholic school, which was excellent. And everything went well. I thought, like, okay, I just need to do my own thing, and then life would be awesome. So, yeah, eventually after I graduated from my first university, I moved to Hong Kong for a career opportunity. And basically from a lot of my friends, like, Hong Kong's the place to be if you're young. And I basically lived the expat life, and everything was awesome. I partied till, like, 3 or 4, sleep 2 hours, wake up in the bathroom, and just look in the mirror, and it's like, oh, that's me. I look, yeah, you start finding yourself, you look kind of scary after that kind of life, but things work out, everything works out at work. But eventually in life, there is that downtime. So late last year, my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and I kind of felt my relationship with my family was falling apart. And career-wise, I didn't I really had no reason to tell myself why I'm still in Hong Kong, you know. I should really be moving back to the U.S. So I was really lost. And then one day my friend Vincent just came and approached me. He's like, hey, there's this program called Alpha, you know. Do you want to just let God help you? I was like, really? Let God help me, you know. It's like, because it felt like one of those like regular Christian things, sort of like, oh, you should join our program, just let God. I was like, okay, oh no, I don't want to get into that. But I somehow I didn't know how to reject him, so I was like, yeah, it was really difficult. And so I just told myself, okay, I'll just go 1 week, and after 1 week, he won't bother me. Yeah, so I started Alpha, and it turned out to be really good. I had a really good group, and we started building a really good friendship, and the testimonies were excellent, and things really started connecting to me, but still, I was like, okay, I'll keep going to Alpha every week, but it's not going to make me a believer. I felt like there may be a sign from God, but I want to keep hiding from him. I wasn't ready yet. And eventually, as Alpha program went on, everyone told me the highlight of Alpha was the retreat. So I still told myself, okay, I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going. But even till the last day to sign up for the retreat, I think it was the Friday before the retreat, I kept getting WhatsApp messages from everyone. It got to the point where it's like every 2 hours there's this message like, are you going to retreat? Are you going to retreat? I was like, oh. Yeah. So eventually I was like, okay, fine, I'll go. So I did end up going, and it was pretty good, because it started out, Gia gave an excellent testimony, and it was actually about her career, so I was like, wow. It connected me to you really well, and I was like, wow, okay. And then, but still, while sitting through the retreat, I was like, okay, I want to go home. You know, just let me go. I don't want to stay here till late evening. So I kept asking them, well, okay, what time can I leave? What time can I leave? They're like, you got to stay for the whole thing. I was like, ugh. So actually what got to me really was what happened that evening. So at the evening after dinner, there's something called the acceptance prayer. And they asked me if I wanted to say the acceptance prayer. And I just kind of asked myself, okay, am I ready for this? And I kind of felt, well, I do see a lot of signs. So I said, okay, why not? So I did say the acceptance prayer. And then Pastor Ricky said, okay, I'm going to pray for you now. And somehow, I don't know Pastor Ricky at all. It's my first time meeting him. He started talking to me about all the problems I'm going through. He knew what I was going through with my family, career-wise. I was like, wow. And then he just told me, don't worry, let God take care of you. And he gets really long prayer. And throughout it, I wasn't even looking at him. And it just felt like God was speaking to me. And after that, it felt like a revival. I felt like a new person. And I really had no words for it. Like, I was just thinking, okay, so this means that everything that has been happening for the past half a year wasn't a coincidence at all. And I was like, okay, I think I accept God. And I just want to keep speaking to him and let him guide me in life. So today I'm getting baptized because I feel I've accepted God. And I want to obey and follow him in life. So I want to end my testimony by thanking God for his relentless love. I want to thank my family, especially my mom, she spent a good portion of her lifetime praying for me to accept God. And I want to thank my girlfriend, who's been a part of my journey of faith, and my brothers and sisters from the Alpha group. They've been praying for me a lot, and I definitely feel their support. And lastly, I want to thank my friend Vincent. He's not here today, but he's been a really important mentor in helping me build my faith. So thank you, everyone.
Amen. Do you receive Matthew as your brother in Christ? Amen. Good job.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Hi. My name is Stephen. And standing here in front of all of you today still feels very surreal to me. And with my family here in the audience, I'm sure it feels very surreal for them as well. As I was leaving home this morning, my dad looked at me and said, "Hey, why are you dressed like this today?" And they don't know I'm doing my baptism today, so it's a surprise. because today it would be one of the most, if not the most important sharings of my life, and I'm just really glad that my loved ones are here to help witness. And I will be giving my testimony and my faith and my journey and how I got saved. But, it's also about receiving that love. It's also about giving that love and sharing that grace and love. So I hope that, my words will resonate with all of you and particularly my family. So some background about myself. I didn't grow up in a Christian household. My parents, perhaps they were Buddhists, but borderline at best. My older sister and I, we went to a Christian school and we were in Hong Kong, but we didn't really grow up with any religion other than superstitions and beliefs. Maybe out of curiosity on things like astrology and fortune telling, the palm readings, the name readings, face readings, and etc. And since the day that I got to the States until October 2015, I never attended church, nor did I open the Bible. And I was 9 when my family immigrated to the States, and while at the time it seemed like there were just plenty of difficulties to overcome, the new environment, the change of lifestyle, the loneliness, the language barriers. But later I also realized that we didn't really face any problems that other immigrant families didn't also have. And I had many doubts in my life, but none seemed to have had a damaging effect on me. And I wasn't the best in school, but I pulled my weight among the smarts. I always seemed to learn things quite quickly, and I didn't think that there's a problem that I couldn't solve. Maybe because I'm always an optimist at heart, and I always focus on the solutions rather than the problems. And after graduating school early, I got an offer at probably the top investment bank in the world, and I kept that job during the financial crisis. So I guess life was pretty good. I didn't really have anything to complain about, but I didn't feel that way. I wasn't content. I didn't feel proud. I just didn't feel like, my life was all that good. I was actually feeling a bit lost and a bit aimless. And when I say I didn't feel these things, I didn't mean it in the form of physical comfort. Instead, I felt that my life was just empty. I felt that whatever I was doing didn't really have much meaning, like my heart wasn't there. I felt almost inadequate, not inadequate in my job, but inadequate in life. I thought maybe that's because I have achieved nothing yet, and by working harder and trying to achieve more, I can fix that. So I did. That's exactly what I did. And growing up in Asia and in a Chinese family, successes are often measured by performance and things, especially when the parents have given up so much to provide what they think are best for the children. So expectation is high. And I ultimately went back to school looking to change my career direction. But I ended up being in finance again because that's what paid. My heart was still lost, and I tried to fix that again by launching a bunch of different social impact initiatives. And while that provided an aim, a goal, and a meaning for me, I was still feeling inadequate and empty. It is almost as if I'm doing all these things because I feel that the more I do, the more right it gets. But at the same time, I felt unequipped, I felt helpless, and I'm just not good enough. So fast forward to 2015. At that time, I've been dating Jenny for over a year, and some of you know that she's based here and I'm based in Shanghai, so for the past 3 years, I would fly back and forth. But like any relationship, especially that of a long-distance relationship, there are issues. But being the optimist, I didn't believe in giving up. You know, I felt that we can resolve the issues together, and that through all these difficulties, we can grow closer and stronger. I had faith that true love will prevail, although at the time I didn't associate that faith with our Lord Savior. It was also around that time that I met Jane Song and Jenny V. Wong through Jenny, and under the advice, I came to SP, the first church I've ever attended. I came to SP willingly searching for answers, but you know, my heart, and in my mind, actually, I still had a lot of doubts. You know, I always thought that religion is only for people that lack self-confidence and lack self-discipline. And I've met people that seem to do things that are contrary to their beliefs, and they would use their beliefs as tools to justify themselves and to judge others. Or it's just too hypocritical and fake. But for my relationship and future with Jenny, I yearned for that blessings and some peace. So I continue on. I attended church, and I listened to the sermons by our beloved Pastor Sam. but as I was listening to the sermons, you know, something changed. I slowly became receptive, and instead of being skeptical, and I can feel something is changing inside me. At this point, I still haven't come to Christ, but the questions that I have about the faith grew more and more, and I'm becoming more and more curious about Christianity and feel just joined to it. I started to do my own readings into the history of Christianity and its theology, and I watched videos arguing for and against Christianity. And to be frank, I was just hooked, you know, about this whole faith. Subsequently, I attended Alpha, GIC, BSF, but it was only after a year of attending church and finishing Alpha taught by Pastor Mary that I came to accept Christ. And I accepted Christ because at that point, the truthfulness of Christ became undeniable to me. But that truthfulness to me was love. I came to realize that all the problems that we face on a daily basis can be traced back to the lack of love, or actually more precisely, a very deep misunderstanding of love. Be it family issues, parental issues, spousal issues, or any relationship issues, they all stem from a broken foundation of love, not knowing what true love is. And this is true to people of all ages. But it is in Jesus that I found what true love is and how to love. And no matter how much we deny it as human beings, we all need love. The feeling of love is a part of God. Love is the remnant of God. It is a gift left to us by our Creator. Our salvation did not come from the physical event of Christ's death, but the love behind his death. And love drives people to grow, to be better, to reflect, to be remorseful, to feel shame and guilt. But love also heals. It heals so that we can transform into someone better, someone stronger, into someone that's more like him, our Lord Savior. And that, I realize, is my purpose and the meaning of my life. As a believer in Christ, I'm to root myself and my works in him and his teachings, which all center on love and share that love. The faith is as much about receiving his love as it is about sharing his love. And it is through love we rebuild the foundation of his kingdom and let his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But how? Now I have no idea how to do this. How do I share this love that he has graciously given to me? And it became clear to me on my recent trip to Israel that the answer begins with the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. Through them, God has revealed the governance of his kingdom, the laws and the virtues. He taught us how to be more like him. And I can think of no better way to glorify him, to testify about him, and to share his love with others by incorporating the governance of his kingdom into my life so that I can become more like him. So I stand before you now no longer feeling empty or aimless, but in a way I still feel inadequate. Not inadequate in my life, but inadequate out of the fear that when I meet him, he will be disappointed. This doesn't mean that the love is no longer there, as his love is unconditional and is eternal. But he might be disappointed because after all the grace and love that he has given me, I continue to disobey him and root myself in me and not in him, and therefore wasted away his purpose for me. After all, for much is given, much is expected. So today I'm doing this baptism because it ceremonially officiates the beginning of a new journey with the Lord, but most importantly, I'm doing this so that all of you can bear witness to my proclamation and therefore be my accountability partner. Help me and each other in making him proud and share his love. As now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And I want to thank my family for being here today. Thank you for caring for me. I want to thank Jane and Genevieve for bringing Jenny and myself to SP. I want to thank Corina Lee for helping me translate my testimony into Chinese so that I can share with my family as well. I want to thank P. Sam and P. Mary and everyone else in SP for showing me how beautiful and true Christianity is. And finally, I want to thank you, Jenny. You know, when I first met you, I already knew that you're special. Maybe I should do this when I'm coming down. You know, when I first met you, I knew that you're very special. And after getting to know you more, I just fell completely in love with you. And this love for you is something that I've never experienced before. You know, it is so strong that it pushes me forward on its own. It motivates me, it drives me, inspires me, it grows me. You make me want to be more and be a better man. And, you know, it also hurts and saddens me whenever I see that you're hurt and sad, or when you are angry, or when you're frustrated, or you're anxious, you know, and just lost. You know, it's almost as if my emotions have been linked to you. Many people have asked me, you know, how do I know what true love is, or if I have found true love? I know I have. And that's because when I look at you, I don't see you and me. I see you and us. And to be able to love someone in unity and above oneself, just like Christ loved us, that is true love. And, you know, I know that, you know, I accept you and there are conflicts, but I also believe that conflicts can help each other grow stronger, and that we can learn to love each other more. And I'm not perfect, not even close, and I'm really sorry for all the heartaches that I've ever caused you. All I ask is that you be patient with me as I learn to be a better man. I told you many times that if everyone on earth, just loved one person in their life, just one person, the way that Christ loved us, his kingdom would be complete. And to me, you are that person. And and before I was even a Christian, I always told you that, you know, the best has yet to come, and that your bubble will always get bigger and better. And now I realize that it's only through God, through him, that this can and will happen. So, Jenny, I'm asking you to walk this journey with me, hand in hand, in unity as one before the Lord. Let us build our life and future together so that we can glorify him and testify about him. Let us promise each other of love so that we can share it with our family and also with others. So Jenny Tang, will you walk this journey with me? Will you marry me? You say whatever is in your heart.
Well, I'm really surprised because I really don't see this coming. But yes, yeah.
Okay, let's take care of some business first. Do you receive Stephen as your brother in Christ? Yeah. Amen. As they continue to pray, I want the rest of us, let's rise to our feet and let's sing this as an anthem before the Lord. Let's worship the Lord together.
My sorrows, He made them.
Can I invite everyone to close their eyes for a moment before I give the benediction? With all the heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today, you're visiting, or you've been at church for a while, and you heard the testimonies and the stories, and there's something inside of you saying, you know what, I want some of that. And I want some of that joy and that peace. And I also feel restless, like our candidates here as well. And maybe God's tugging at your heart a little bit and saying, you know what? I want to experience this life that Stephen and Matthew and Caitlin and Wei have also experienced in the Lord. They weren't perfect. Everyone made mistakes. That's our human condition. We all make mistakes. But God came down despite our mistakes to love us. Even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so I just wanted to give you an opportunity to start a relationship with Jesus. Again, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're saying, you know what? I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I'm curious. I want to invite you to join us next Sunday for a worship service. Be a part of our community, but even more than that, just to start by saying, Lord, I just invite you into my heart. Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, particularly verse 9 and 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, he says, you'll be saved. And with your mouth, we confess that leads to righteousness, but we believe in our hearts, and with our mouth, it leads us to salvation. We confess and leads to salvation. And so there's a twofold thing. We believe in our heart, but we confess with our mouth. Jesus says that if you would confess me before men, he says, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. And so it starts with that confession. It starts with in our hearts. It starts with our mouth saying, okay, I'm going to start. And so if there's anyone here, let's close our eyes again and it's bow our heads. And if there's anyone here and you say, you know what, I want to start this journey with Jesus, just simply raise your hand right now. Just really simply. Say, I just want to start this relationship with Jesus. I want to start this journey with the Lord. And I'll wait for you for a bit. Again, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. And so you can put those hands down. And let's pray. In fact, we'll all join along in this prayer. Let's pray together. Say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. I want you to enter into my life. I believe this is a new start. Lord, send me the Holy Spirit to help me in this new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you raise your hand and you gave your life to the Lord right now, tell someone, whoever brought you to church, tell them about it, and they're going to help you in this new journey of life. Amen. Let me just pray over you for benediction. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our candidates. Got all 16 of them today, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness in their life and how you love them and care for them, God, and how you're continually be watching over them, Lord. And we're so blessed, God, and enriched by your love being shed in their hearts, God. And so we thank you, Lord. And as we go off today into back into our families, into our worlds, into our work, I pray, God, that we will take you with us wherever we go. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug someone next to you and say, man, I love you in Jesus' name. Let's hug our candidates and wish them well. Join them in their journey of faith. God bless you guys. Enjoy some refreshments. And we'll see you this week in our prayer meetings or house church. God bless you guys.